I want to thank my friend Marion Mayor Mike Absher for joining us this morning. Morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning, Tom. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Happy 1st of November. So, I have to tell you, I'm impressed with the new round square.
Oh, thank you so much. We're so pleased with it and equally happy that it's finished.
Yeah, there's that aspect of getting it done. But, you know, I don't know that I had a full, true appreciation of it until I saw the overhead photographs.
Yeah. I've joked a little bit. I've had a benefit of having a picture hanging outside of my office that was drawn in late 2019 as to what this would look like. So I've had benefit of knowing what it was going to turn out to be and helped me keep the faith that this was all going to work out. But unfortunately, not everybody had that picture right next to him all the time. But it's turned out brilliantly, I think. It's working well from a traffic pattern standpoint and pedestrian safety, which was the overall goal. Not just the aesthetics, but the safety aspect of it. And we're pleased, very pleased.
All right, so I read one place where Marion paid for the entire project. Is that true?
No, so there's three phases to this project. There was the center portion, the round concrete pad, the fountains, ice skating rink, and all of that that's around the tower itself. That part we did first. We paid for those improvements. The second phase was a water main replacement. There was an 80-year-old cast iron water line that surrounded the square, which was insufficient to have the fire suppression we needed for all the additional development that was going on the square, new businesses locating. And so we've had to pay for that part, which needed to be done regardless. And then the third phase, which is what people are seeing now completed, it was two grants that we've got, which were 80-20 grants, meaning 80% of it was paid for. One was called ITEP, which was an Illinois Transportation Enhancement Program. That's what that acronym stands for. And another one federally funded. So those two paid for about 80%, a little bit more than that project. So we paid for 20% of what people are seeing now. But it's just been a four-year project, but the lion's share of it was paid for by a grant.
What was the total sum on that? Do you know?
Outside of the water line, which I don't have, I think that was about $800,000, maybe $850,000. Probably a little over $5 million, I would say, of which about $3 million of that was paid for by the grant.
You know, I've got friends of mine who are engineers at IDOT, and I'm like, roundabouts are terrible. No, you don't understand. I mean, they've been preaching to me, this is safer, this is better. Traffic, the idea being that traffic constantly flows.
Yeah.
That's what they always emphasize. No, this is better. I'm still in the funnel, Mike. Are you still in the funnel, or have you come through?
I was where you were at until I saw it with my own eyes. We had a very unique situation on the square in that we neither had a roundabout nor a traffic circle. We had half and half. So two of the approaches yielded, two of the approaches didn't yield. Not sure why that was laid out that way originally. Of course, people got very used to that, and it was difficult getting accustomed to something different. But turn it into a actual roundabout. I was more fearful just about the change in of itself, but what they told me has turned out to be what I'm witnessing with my own eyes. The traffic, albeit slower, there are more cars that get through with a roundabout. And of course, what people forget with stoplights, stop signs, and such, is that you end up with a lot of rear end accidents in those circumstances when people aren't paying attention to their speed, and you just end up with an inordinate amount of rear-end collisions and that kind of thing. So I know roundabouts get their own share of grief. I do believe they work. I do believe they're safer, and I do believe they accomplish what they intend to.
So a bit of a celebration earlier in Marion this week. The Boys and Girls Club is back, and they had what was deemed in press releases and published stories as a soft opening earlier this week.
Yeah, I think they're hoping to restart services by the end of the year. Boys and Girls Club, both of Southern Illinois, which is Carbondale and Marion, and have a little bit of a bumpy ride here the last year and a half with some organizational challenges. And I'm so happy that so many people contributed again to restart the club, restart the services. I'm very convinced that they've got a wonderful director that they've hired with a wonderful amount of experience and great ideas on how to not just make it sustainable, but even more vibrant than it was before. And I was able to attend that ribbon cutting this week at the Marion location, and it's very exciting, and I'm so grateful for all the individuals, the businesses, Dr. Pichard that helped raise the spearhead the capital campaign. Took a while and a lot of hard work, but it's going to pay off for the benefit of the kids in Southern Illinois, and I'm so appreciative of that.
You know, they say you can tell by a community, you can tell what kind of community you live in by how it invests. And you think this is an exhibit A for that statement in Marion?
There is no substitute for being disruptors for good. This is an example of being a disruptor for good, and what I mean by that, we can either complain about that there's nothing for kids to do, that there's no help for them after school, homework help, or events for them to go to, or you can do something about it. Marion is so blessed to have two organizations, one of which the city is sponsors directly, which is the Boynton Street Community Center, which has its own programs, which have been successful to a very impactful degree for a long time. And then now Boys and Girls Club, which is for somewhat older youth than what Boynton Street typically services. And that really kind of helps us run the gambit of the age bands. And I think you're right. I think you either choose to invest and disrupt for the good, or you turn a blind eye and hope it gets better on its own.
Now, I think that actually blends perfect into the new sports complex, speaking of things that look really great. Is it going to be ready to go in spring?
It is. So there's a couple of phases to that project, too. One of the ones that is not visible yet is a air-supported dome, which will have ball fields inside under a dome. That project hasn't started yet, and that will not be ready by the spring. But the 12 multimodal fields, which is what you do see being worked on, we believe will be playable for the spring season. And they're really ahead of schedule and done a really great job out there and very quick. It's a massive project if you've been by and seen it. And that's going to be a huge boon for our economy, I believe, not just for Marion, but really all of Southern Illinois, as we can have all these tournaments come in and play and capture some of the sports tourism dollars. If anybody's played travel sports, anybody's been involved in that, you know how much folks have to spend when they're going to those tournaments, and we're looking forward to them spending it in Southern Illinois.
Hotel bed tax is what drove this?
It is, yeah.
You know, and when the dome goes up first time, I want to be there.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. If I recall right, it's 150,000 square feet under that air-supported dome, and so it's going to be a pretty interesting and massive structure in of itself, and quite unique because there's not too many indoor playable facilities like that with fields that can be converted from one sport to the other rather quickly.
And I thought, Mike, that's a great way to differentiate yourself from other locations and make your location the draw because of that asset and the ability to continue to play on in sports. That ability to differentiate yourself from other people. I mean, you sports with a dome, that does it.
That does it. Our other distinguishing and differentiating factors is we've got hotel capacity with two or three more hotels already under construction or close to it. Marion has got about 1,100 hotel rooms now, and that will be a great benefit to the hotels, of course. There's not always capacity in hotels in some of these facilities around the country. The third element of that is, which is a really distinguishing characteristic, is a lot of these tournaments you go to, and there's not a lot of stuff to do while your kids aren't playing. And based on our proximity with the Starbond District and all that's already going on commercially in that area, there will be an abundance of things for people to do while they're not playing the sports tournaments. So we feel like all of those things, as well, of course, with our proximity and ease of egress and ingress from the interstate and Route 13, are all harbingers for great success there.
By the way, as we were, you were speaking to one of your residents, just texted me on the American Monument text line about how proud they are of their mayor. Our mayor was the term they used, so I wanted to pass that on to you. Now, there's something, I categorize stories in my own mind to kind of manage information, and there are stories that I consider icebergs. You know, icebergs are important. If you don't believe so, ask the Titanic. But the important thing about an iceberg to me is what's below the waterline. And I think that I would use that to apply to the Starbonds project.
Well, I think that's actually a pretty good analogy, particularly right now. You just don't see all that. It's very similar to the picture that was hanging out of my office that I got to see what the square would look like 4 years ago. I kind of have a picture in my mind of what that will be in the years to come, not just physically what it will be, but what it will be economically to our area. It's a very unique, we've talked about it many times before, but it's a very unique setup for Marion. We're the guinea pig for the state of Illinois with the Starbonds project, and I suspect that if we're successful, which we of course plan to be, that there will be many more across the state in the years to come. And so it's not just important for us to be successful with a destination, several destination developments, but for our own benefit of Southern Illinois, but to prove this concept out as it has been already in other states, so that Illinois can benefit from it as a whole. So it's
difficult to see, but
just like that iceberg, there's just a whole lot more than what you do see under the surface that's yet to come.
Yeah, I think that, you know, what I kind of look at is a foundational story. There has to be a financial foundation. And that, you know, to some effect, this is what's going on right now. So you talked about how you see it. If you were trying to describe to me what you see, how would that look, Mike?
Very unique retail, entertainment, and dining developments that will bring, by design, hundreds of thousands of people over the course of a year from 70 miles or more away from Marion to Marion in order to benefit from those very unique developments. That in of itself will benefit existing retailers. It will benefit hotels, restaurants. It will provide a challenge to the city and our infrastructure, as we obviously will need to grow fire, police, and safety services and keep investing as we do in roads, water, and sewer, and all of those things that you've got to think of as you grow. So there are challenges to that, but the goal here is to provide literally destination developments that we can benefit economically. Sort of the economic holy grail is to, you know, develop your economy with other people's money, so to speak. So that's what you're trying to do, is bring in other people's spending to your town, and so that our residents benefit from that in multitude of ways.
All right. Now, here's another item. This is anecdotal, but I still think it means something, and I'm having a problem interpreting it. So I'm talking to one of your business owners, owns a restaurant. And so, you know, these two new restaurants move in. I think it's Chick-fil-A he was talking about, and I think it was Cane's or something like that. And he says, you know, they opened up, and you drive by, and there's this line, you know, out to the highway, right? People are lined up to try to this restaurant. And he says, so I looked over the specific days those new restaurants opened, and I thought I would see my sales dip. But they didn't. What, you know, and I'm having a, you know, because I'm kind of conventional in thought that pie is a finite series when it comes to lunch or dinner to someone, and they have to decide where they're going to take that dollar. But the pie doesn't get necessarily bigger. Now, how can this be? You've got two restaurants with the new places where they're out the door, right, in the line, while businesses that have been there years don't see a dip. Now, we're talking about Marion. How can that be, Mike?
Well, my standby reference point always is, of course, my business career. And I guess the analogy I would give you to that, which is totally counterintuitive, it does not make sense when you say it, but I've lived it, is that the best thing that can happen to a car dealership is a competitive car dealership locate right next door. I don't know how to explain that, except that it is a synergy between advertising and just economy of scale when people are shopping for cars. that they like to drive from one lot to the next. And each dealership in that example ends up benefiting because the other is in close proximity. That's why you see car dealerships all up and down the same stretch. That's sort of intended in a town. That's why they do that. And I think that that circumstance extends to other businesses. I don't know that I can completely agree that the pie doesn't always get a little bigger, and I'll give you two examples that come to mind of that. Prior to Chick-fil-A being here in Marion, it used to drive me nuts. My kids would drive to Paducah after school to get a Chick-fil-A. So I don't know how much we spent in gas getting a $6 sandwich, but probably more in gas than the sandwich cost. So conversely, I have some businesses in Paducah, and I know that every Saturday, because this has stunned me for the entire time that I've had business interests there, how many of my employees from Paducah come to Marion to shop at Target because they don't have a Target in Paducah. So I do think that, and of course when they're shopping at Target, they also stop for lunch somewhere and maybe they shop at some other shops and things like that. So I do think the more attractions and unique businesses that you have does create a bigger pie, so to speak. But back to the restaurant owner, it's just simply, you know, the other thing is if you come to town to get a Chick-fil-A and there are 30 cars in line, not everybody wants to wait 30 cars deep, so they go somewhere else.
Right. Yeah. So there's different, more than one way to get there. You know, it's interesting in listening and talking to you today that I couldn't help but become a little reminiscent of former Mayor Bob Butler. And listening to you and your tone and the way you looked at these subjects that we covered today, Mayor Butler and I, who were friends for decades, used to tell me, you know, that he told people, don't tell me why I can't do something, tell me how I can.
I have heard him say that very same thing, that's a great perspective on things. It's an abundance mindset, not a constricting or limited mindset, and very much what has propelled Marion in the past, and I hope so in the future.
Yeah, it's kind of built in the DNA. You know, I'm still kind of shaking off the fact it's November 1st. I'm going, where did the year go? I guess that happens as we get older would be my first thought. But I can't help but think that, you know, when it comes to all the things you and I have talked about and the business hub aspect, I mean, you're the one that turned me on to this idea of 57 is two interstates, right?
Uh-huh.
And then 13 coming through, that when it comes to the holiday season and Marion and the new square, you have a lot of opportunity to draw, generate foot traffic, celebrate the holidays, have a spirit created, the parades. You have a lot of plans for the holidays, Thanksgiving on.
We do. As a matter of fact, this is my favorite time of the year, and it is a little shocking that we're on November 1st, but I always look forward to it. Just in a couple of weeks, we'll start decorating the square and Main Street with Christmas decorations, and then leading up to our Very Merry Marion set of events, which kicks off with our parade, which is Sunday, December 1st. They'll start at 5:30. That runs from the junior high on Main Street all the way to Washington Elementary on East Main Street. That's the third annual parade that we've had. There'll be food trucks like before stationed along the route. We had about 10,000 in attendance last year. We're looking forward to welcoming all those folks back and hopefully a few more to downtown this year. Then we have some other events that's been very popular in the past at Club 60, our Senior Citizens Center, Pancakes and Pajamas.
Is there another way?
No, there is not. There is no way to eat pancakes. Kiwanis is helping us out this year by providing their wonderful pancakes. We just had their pancake breakfast last Saturday, and look forward to those pancakes again. We got the Hub is putting on a fun run. Registration opens online with that on November 11th, Veterans Day. That's at thehubmarion.com. We have something unique also at the Hub called Scuba with Santa, which is put on by at the Hub, but by Mermet Springs, and that's also at thehubmarion.com. You can see that. And then something we're very much looking forward to, December 13th through the 15th, our Very Merry Marion Holiday Market, so that's where you can shop for locally made goods, handmade goods from all around the region. That market runs from 4 to 8 on that Friday the 13th, the 12 to 8 on Saturday, and 12 to 6 on Sunday the 15th. But we hope to have about 50. We've got about 50 vendors registered for that. That's going to be on the square proper this year as opposed to down the street now that the square is completed. You can see a lot of these, or all of these events for that matter, at verymarymarion.com.
All right. And you clearly have a big, busy agenda, but the idea is to create a blender when it comes to that money and spread it around. Clearly that's the issue. I just got a text about you on the American Monument text line. It says, "Good morning, Mr. Mayor. You're the man of the hour for all of Southern Illinois. You're doing for Marion is great for the whole area. Other local towns are basically not doing well, but what you're doing in Marion is nothing short of miraculous, and I hope you're reelected for the next 20 years.
Well, I'm going to have to disagree with your caller a little bit. I think there's some great things going on in other towns. I tell people I'm glad that they think that we're being an example, but I see so many things going on in some of our peer towns and so proud of them and proud of our relationships with them. I'm a regionalist. I want to see all of Southern Illinois prosper, and I hope Marion, I'm glad that they think that Marion's leading the way, but there are others leading the way too, and we just all have to work together and lift ourselves up.
Marion Mayor Mike Absher.